Okay, we're beginning a new sefer, the sefer Yismach Yisrael, from the Rebbe of Alexander. So just open up to the front page, just so you can see the name of the tzaddik. You see on the title page, we're using the second volume. We're using the Vayikra Bamidbar Devarim volume. You see on the title page, it says that the sefer Yismach Yisrael from Yerachmiel Yisrael Yitzchak, the son of Maran Yechiel Me Alexander, who is the son of Shraga Feivel Me Alexander. Okay. This is the third Alexander Rebbe. The first Alexander Rebbe, again, as you can see on the title page, was from Shraga Feivel. The family name was Danziger. So if you know anyone named Danziger, you could ask them if they're related to the family of the Alexander Rebbes. The first tzaddik, Rav Shraga Feivel, I'm not going to speak a lot about him. I'll just mention that he passed away in 1848, just so we have a little bit of a timeline here of when these tzaddikim lived. He was followed by his son, Rav Yechiel Danziger, who passed away in 1894. And again, I don't have time to introduce each of these tzaddikim now. And Rav Yechiel Danziger, again, as you can see on the title page, was the father of our Rebbe, the Yismach Yisrael. Yisrach Yisrael's name, again, was Rav Yachmiel Yisrael Yitzchak Danziger. Now, the truth is, when he was born, his name was Yisrael Yitzchak. Yerachmiel was added later because of an illness. Sometimes we'll do a Shino Hashem to change a person's name if someone's not well. And at the guidance of the Tzaddik, Rav Mendel Lavorki, they changed his name to Yerachmiel Yisrael Yitzchak. But his real name was Yisrael Yitzchak. His name was Yisrael Yitzchak. And after he passed away, and his children and grandchildren put out the Svarim, so they were the ones who actually came up with the name Yismach Yisrael. He didn't name the Sefer himself. And the reason they called the Sefer Yismach Yisrael, if we could fast forward to the end of his life, is that one of the things that he said, Mamish B'Shas P'tirasa, at the very end of his life, as our Rebbe, the third Alexander Rebbe, at the very end of his life, he said the following, and I'm reading now from a little Hebrew biography about the Tzaddikim of Alexander. There's a whole series called Migdolei HaTorah V'Achasidus, of Avram Bromberg, Avram Yitzchak Bromberg. And in the volume about, a biographical volume, all about the Alexander Rebbes, he writes towards the end of the Sefer that when the Yismach Yisrael was at the very end of his life, he said, Kol Yamai Ha'isi Oved Al Midas HaSimcha. My whole life I worked on the midah of simcha, l'sameach levavos Yisrael, to give joy to the hearts of Jews. And therefore it wasn't so hard for the children, after he had passed away, to name the Sefer Yismach Yisrael, because that's exactly what the Sefer is about. And that's a big part of the reason why I picked the Sefer. We live in a time where people just don't seem happy enough. People don't smile enough during shir. So we're going to learn Yismach Yisrael, and hopefully it'll make you smile. His whole avodah was to make Jews happy, to give chizuk to Jews. When did he live? Let's write down the dates of his life. He was born in the year Taryag, which is 1853. And he passed away in 1910. Okay, so did he live before or after Rashi? After. Okay, good. Before or after the Ran? After. Okay, he didn't live that long ago. He passed away in 1910. And the Sefer came out in 1911, shortly thereafter. Okay, 1853 to 1910. He was the oldest son of his father, Rav Yechiel, who was the previous Rebbe. And already from a young age, there was signs of his creativity and his warmth and his sincerity and his humility. His father once took him one time to the Rebbe of Vorki. He was about 7 years old. And the Rebbe asked him, he said, young boy, how do you enjoy being amongst the Hasidim? And he wouldn't answer. So the Rebbe asked him a second time and a third time. And he wouldn't answer the Rebbe. So his father, afterwards, when they left, he said, why didn't you answer the Rebbe? The Rebbe was being so friendly to you. He asked you, how does it feel to be in the presence of the Hasidim? So he said back to his father as a young boy, he said, I wasn't able to speak when I was standing in the presence of such Kedusha. And as a seven-year-old, he already had an appreciation. He understood that. He didn't say, I was scared. He said, I understood. I was in the presence of a tzaddik. I didn't feel comfortable. I felt humbled in the presence of the tzaddik, in the presence of the Rebbe of Vorki. We'll see. We'll meet some of his rebbeim as we go through the sefer. He struggled to have children of his own, and one time he went who did he go to? I'm trying to remember. He was by one of the tzaddikim, and they said the reason that you're struggling to have children is because you have the neshama. They said about the Yismach Yisrael, you have the neshama of the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, and the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, never had children, so that's why you're struggling to have children of your own. So the tzaddikim was said a lot of big things about him already, even as a young person. And as we learn, I'll try to share some stories and introduce us more to who he is, but the best way to meet a tzaddik is to simply to learn his Torah. Okay, so for today, I want to introduce us to the Sefer by learning a piece for Chodesh Elul, a piece from last week's Parsha, and then a piece from this week's Parsha, with another half a piece of Elul mixed in. Okay? So let's open to the Torahs for Rosh Chodesh Elul. They're found right after Parshas Re'eh. For those who have the copy that we just handed out, it's on page 79. Now you'll see the Sefer first has a section on Vayikra, so if you get to the first 79, you're not in the right place. When the numbers start over again and you get to the next 79, you're still not in the right place. But when you get to the page that says Rosh Chodesh Elul, page 79, then you're in the right place. Okay, it's about halfway through the volume. It says 79 in Mem in the upper left-hand corner. Okay? Anyone having trouble finding it? You got it? Okay, Parshas Re'eh. Devarim Veschanan Ekev Re'eh, and then Rosh Chodesh El. You got it? Anyone not? If you can't find it, ask your neighbor who found it to help you. And if you're really not finding it, it could be that you're looking in the wrong volume. Okay, so we're in the Vayikra Bamidbar Dvarim volume on page 79. Okay, let's begin the first piece for Rosh Chodesh Elul. And we dive into Hashem that the Torahs of the Tzaddik should really make us happy. That's what they're meant to do. And you'll see it's beautiful Torah. It's such sweet Torah. For those who were here last year, it's such a nice follow-up to the Kedushas Levi, because you'll see, you're gonna feel good the way the Kedushas Levi, the Berditchever, made us feel good. But with a creativity and a depth and really beautiful chassidus. Okay, so let's look inside. Ksiv. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, V'lo anachnu amo. Recognize the Pasuk. We say it in Pesukei Dezimra every morning, in Mizmor Lesoda. V'lo anachnu amo. Now the word lo is a kri and a ksiv, which means that it's written one way and it's pronounced another way. The lo is lamed aleph and also lamed vav. Lo anachnu and lo anachnu. Yeah? Lo anachnu amo. So what does it mean, lo anachnu amo? So we have to kind of look at the whole pasuk. Nu, what's the whole phrase? Lo anachnu amo v'tzon mar yiso. What does it mean, lo anachnu? The way Rashi explains it, and the way the Ibn Ezra explains it, the way the Pashut Mefarshim explain the pasuk and tell him, is that lo anachnu, you didn't create yourself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is responsible for making you. Lo anachnu, we are not the owners of ourselves. Right? Amo v'tzon mariso. We're Hashem's people. We're Hashem's, Hashem, so to speak, is the shepherd, and we're his flock, like we say in the Avnoram davening. So lo anachnu. But also, it's lo with a vav. So is it lo anachnu? Right? We are not. Or it's lo anachnu, with a vav. So it's both. It's a kri and a ksiv. It's written lo with an aleph, and it's pronounced. We pronounce it the same way, but the kavana when we pronounce it is lamed vav, lamed aleph, lamed vav. But say the tzaddikim. Many tzaddikim explain if the kri is lo with a vav and the ksiv is lo with an aleph. Look what you have: lamed aleph, lamed vav, or the letters elul. So this pasuk hints to Elul. This lo, lamed aleph, lamed vav, are the letters Elul. So what does that mean? What's the lo anachnu, lo anachnu? We are not our own, we are His. What are we expressing? Kisha anachnu yodim ki Hashem osanu. When we know, says the Yismach Yisrael, that Hashem is our creator. When we don't fool ourselves into thinking that we're responsible for our own existence. Umimenu akol, we realize that everything comes from Hashem. Kol akochos, all the power, all the strength. Yes, we learned earlier this was created b'tzelem Elokim. But at the end of the day, it's never my own strength. God forbid to say, kochi va'otzem yadi asali asachayel azeh. It was because I did great in college that I got that great job. You got the great job. Hashem was kind enough to give you the great job. Because you could have done really well in college and had a terrible interview. If Hashem wanted it to play out that way. And then you'd say, well, how did I interview and lose the job? So you got the job because Hashem wanted you to get the job. All of the kochos, all of our success, all of our ability and our power comes from Hashem. V'lo mikochenu ma'aseh yadeinu, and it's not our own strength. It's not our own efforts. Va'afilu ha'tikva v'abitachon lo gam ken mikocho. And even our hope and our trust in Hashem comes from Hashem. If you believe in God, you believe in God because Hashem has been kind enough to help you to believe in Him. We have to be thankful to Hashem that He has given us the ability to trust Him. Because there are a lot of people in the world, and even a lot of Jews in the world, who at the moment don't believe, or think they don't believe in God, and don't put their trust in Hashem. So if you feel connected to Hashem, you have to say, thank you Hashem for giving me the ability to be connected to you. In Parshas Lech Lecha, it says, V'he'emin b'Hashem, it says about Avram, V'he'emin b'Hashem, Avram believed in Hashem, V'yechshaveu lo tzedakah. And he considered it tzedakah. He considered it tzedakah. He considered it an act of kindness or righteousness. So Rashi says, Hashem considered Avraham's behavior to be a kindness to God. Meaning Hashem said, Avram, you did me a favor. Most people didn't believe in me. The world was a bunch of idol worshippers. V'hem min b'Hashem, you believed in me. V'yachshaveh lo tzedakah. And God says, Avram, good job. Thank you so much. Thank you for teaching the world about monotheism, about the true God. That's how Rashi learns the pasuk. But the Kotzker Rebbe learns it the other way around. The Kotzker Rebbe says, V'hem in Hashem, Avram believed in Hashem, V'echshaveh lo tzedakah, and Avram said, thank you Hashem for giving me what? The ability to believe in you. Because most people don't. So Avram didn't walk around and say, oh, I figured out that everyone else is a bunch of idiots and heretics. Avram said, I'm so fortunate that God has allowed me to discover the truth. That's the awesome humility of Avram Avinu. Nochi afar ve'efar. The humility of Avram Avinu allows him to say that everything that he does for God, it's really God doing for him. The way that we've mentioned in the past, when the Chafetz Chaim wrote the Mishnah Brura, he thanked Hashem for the opportunity to write the Mishnah Brura. Hashem should be thanking the Chafetz Chaim. You're teaching Jews how to serve me. Hashem owes a thank you to the Chafetz Chaim. No, thank you Hashem for giving me the opportunity to spread Torah and to teach Torah. That's a high level of humility, and that's the truth. It's not me. It's never my own koach. It wasn't my own wisdom or my own creativity that got me to anywhere that I've gotten to. Even the tikva and the bitachon that I have, the hope and the trust that I have, is from Hashem. Like the Gemara says in Kedushin, if God wouldn't help us, we'd have not even a fighting chance against the Yetzer Hara. We need help in everything that we do. We can't do anything on our own. As the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Ki mimenu tikvasi. From Him is my hope. David HaMelech says, not just I depend upon Hashem, but I know to believe in Hashem because God has been kind enough to give me that belief. David HaMelech could have given up on God after all of his struggles and suffering. So he thanked Hashem for allowing him to continue to be hopeful. Hainu shegam tikvasi elav. Gam kein mimenu yizbarach. The fact that I hope and I long and I turn towards you, Hashem, that's also from you. Bachna zos nasim amo. And when we know, chevra, lo anachnu, it's not us, lo with an aleph. When we know that we are not responsible for our own existence, for our own success, when we understand that everything we have is a gift from Hashem, then what? Lo, with a vav, we become His. Amo v'tzon mariso. We become Hashem's people. Like the pasuk says in Devarim, Lo meiruvchem chashak Hashem bachem v'gomer. Ki atem hama'at. Why does God love us? This is a good pasuk to know. Lo meiruvchem. Meirubchem. It's actually with Dagesh in the base. Lo meiruvchem chashak Hashem bachem. It's not because you're numerous that God likes you. If God was betting on like a team that's really, you know, big and has tremendous growth potential in terms of just numbers, the Jewish people are not so big. In terms of world religions, we're less than 1%. We're like below, we're a statistical anomaly. We're tiny people. Why does God like us? Ki atem ha-ma'at. But that's exactly why Hashem likes us. The ma'at is not only talking about the quantity of Jews in the world. It's talking about our attitude. Because you're ma'at, because you're humble. Because you're the people who always says, it's not us, it's you, God. Bizchus sha'atem mematim atzvachem. The Gemara in Chulin says, because you're mema'at yourself, because you humble yourself. How do you become connected to Hashem? Stop trying to be your own thing. Bittul. Surrender. And that's what El's about, leading us into Rosh Hashanah. If you want to crown Hashem king, if you want to acknowledge there's one true king, well then you have to take off your own crown for a little bit and say, I'm surrendering to Hashem. It's not me. Lo anachnu. Elo. Lamed Aleph, Lamed Vav. If we want to become Lamed Vav, we want to become His people, then we have to first say, Lo. It's not me. It's not my own efforts. Beze anachnu ma'orim cheshek Hashem yizbarach lanu. And that's how we awaken Hashem's interest in us. Hashem says, I like humble people. I like people who know the truth, that I'm the one who's in charge. And in this way, by knowing our place, right, by realizing we're not the ones who are responsible for our own success, not only do we have Hashem's protection, but it reawakens the Zchus Avos, those Jews who are much more worthy than us, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Valaya. And it encourages, so to speak, Hashem to fulfill the promise that He made to the Avos. Again, always attaching ourselves to something bigger than ourselves. Like the Pasuk says, U'mishamro es ha-shvua asher nishba lavoseichem. This will cause Hashem to be more mindful, so to speak, of the shvua that He made to the Avos. V'zehu hachana deraba al yamim haba aleinu letova la'or ezchus Avos hakadoshim. And this is an amazing way for us to reawaken, to connect ourselves to the bigger tzibur of Klal Yisrael, to connect ourselves to the Avos, to connect ourselves to Hashem. Stop trying to be your own independent success story. Just say, I'm fortunate to be a descendant of tzaddikim, of neviim, of kedoshim. Even more than that, banim atem l'Hashem elokeichem, I'm a child of Hashem. Surrender to something bigger than yourself. And you'll see you'll be much more successful that way. And that's what we reawaken, this chus avos and this connection to Hashem, the lo anachnu, which leads the way for the lo anachnu with the vav. And he says, how do we achieve this? And this last line requires a lot of explanation, but we'll just say very briefly. Al yedei tashrat v'kol shofar. How do we tap into this? Elo, we spend the whole month blowing shofar, and that's supposed to help us to achieve this. What does Tashrat stand for? Tkiya, Shvarim, Terua, Tkiya. Okay, it's not such a Kabbalistic acronym. It's just Tkiya, Shvarim, Terua, Tkiya. That's what Tashrat stands for. So we awaken the Zchus Avos, and we humble ourselves by listening to the sound of the shofar. And in this way, we surrender to the Melech, and in that way, we have greater success. We remind ourselves who's really responsible for our success. We humble ourselves before we come to Rosh Hashanah. And that allows us, again, to have access to something bigger than ourselves. You don't want to be your own thing. It's not good. Why would I want to operate independently when I can have the guidance and the direction and the direct involvement of the world's expert, namely God. Why do I need to try to figure everything out on my own? Why would I want to do that independently? Hashem says, I want you to recognize your place. Lo anachnu. And then lo anachnu. Okay, now what does he mean this last part about the shofar? How does the shofar help us to achieve this? So let's leave that for a moment. Maybe one of the other pieces we're going to see will help us to better understand. Okay, yes, Joe.
What was the pasuk?
It's a pasuk in Lech Lecha. V'hem min ba'Hashem. Right? He believed in Hashem, which is clearly talking about Avram believing in Hashem. V'yachshavel lo tzedakah. V'yachshavel lo, he considered it for him as tzedakah. So Rashi says, Hashem considered Avram's act an act of tzedakah towards God. You did me a favor. The Kotzker Rebbe said, no, the opposite. Avram was saying, no, the fact that I believe, God, you did me a favor to give me that belief. Okay? So this is our first taste of Yismach Yisrael. Lo, lo, Elul. Yes?
What was the other way to read lo? Instead of at the end, that we can either, if we think that it's...
Meaning by realizing lo aleph, right? Lamed aleph. Not, that it's not me. So then lo, I become to him. Right? Lamed vav. I become his. I become part of Hashem's team. But I first have to say lo, it's not me. To allow myself to lo, to attach myself to him. Okay? Let's turn a bunch of pages to page 92 to Parshas Ki Tsetse. Last week's Parsha. Page 92. Kiseitze lemilchama oivecha v'nasnu Hashem lokecha biyadecha. When you go out to battle against your enemies, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the enemy into your hands, ask the Yismach Yisrael a simple question. First of all, what battle are we describing here? U'mefarish ha-Zohar chadash. The Zohar says we're talking about dekoy al milchemes hayetzer. We're talking about the fight against the Yetzer Hara. It's not just if you go out to a battle, the physical battle against the physical enemy. On a deeper level, we're always going out to battle. We're going out to fight against our Yitzhar. U'lechore einu muvan. And if that's true, I don't understand the Pasuk. What does the Pasuk say? When you go out to battle, ki teitzei lemelchama aloivecha, v'nasno Hashem alokecha biyadecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you success immediately. Hashem is going to give him into your hands. Really? The second you go out to battle, unasno Hashem lokecha biyadecha. Defeating the Yetzer Hara is a long process, no? It makes it sound here so simple. Oh, just go out, like just engage in the battle. Just start the battle, you'll see, it'll be over before you know it. That's not true. From the time any of us decided to start battling the Yetzer Hara, hopefully we've made some progress, and the Yetzer Hara has also gotten smarter and has new ways to get us. We're still in the middle of the battle. Hashem hasn't given over the Yetzer Hara to us. We haven't finished the battle. We haven't won the battle. So what does it mean? Ki miyad kishiyotza lilcham nasnu Hashem biyada wa Yetzer Hara? Is that true that God gives the Yetzer Hara into our hands immediately when we begin the battle? Va'alo kama yegios sarach ha'odom lehityageya. There are so many yegios. What's yegia? Work, effort. There's so much effort that a person needs to put into the battle. It's such a hard battle. It's the biggest battle. It's the longest battle. What do you mean, unasno Hashem lokecha biyadecha? Hashem gives it into your hands. He quotes from the Ches Vav Hei. Who's he quoting? K'mavur b'ches vav hei. Chovos halavavos. Very good. The Chovos halavavos is an early work of Jewish philosophy. Chovos HaLevavos, Rabbi Nubachya Ibn Pekuda, about 800 years ago. And the Chovos HaLevavos says, in the Shar Yichud HaMais, that's one of the sections of the Sefer, B'maimer HaChacham LeMelech, a wise man once encountered a king who was coming back from the battlefield with his soldiers. And the Chacham said to him, Shivtecha Mimilchama Ketana, you've returned from the small battle, but you still need to fight the big battle. So the king said, what? I'll take on anyone. Who can I fight? Show me. Point me in the right direction. I'm ready to fight. And the wise man said, no, no, no. The big fight's not on some battlefield. is not conquering some enemy and expanding your territory and taking the spoils of war. The biggest battle, you're so proud of yourself, you won a physical war. The Chacham says to the Melech, there's a much bigger war to fight. So he says, what's that war? Where is it? Shehi milchemes hayetzer. It's fighting our evil inclination. It's being in control of our inner struggles. That's the biggest battle of all. That's what he's told the Melech. It's not about having a big army and beating up some enemy soldiers. So what does it mean? It says the Pasuk, you go out to battle and instant winners. Pasuk says, Ki teitzeh lemachama, the second you go out, Hunasnah Hashem lokecha biyadecha, Hashem gives the enemy into your hands, as if like, the second you try, you've automatically won. So says the Yismach Yisrael, Venucha lefarishseh, Kesher naktim divrei harishonim, we can explain based on that which the Rishonim have taught us. Iker hatshuva hi kabbalas halev v'kabbala amitis. Shelo yashuv od lechisla. That's a line. That's one of those lines you underline. That's the punchline. Iker hatshuva hi kabbalas halev. The primary act of tshuva is making an absolute commitment that I'm going to change. To say, you know what, I'm really done with that thing. I'm not doing it anymore. I hate the way that I feel, and I'm not doing it anymore. A Kabbalah amitis, Kabbalah means an acceptance. To accept and commit myself wholeheartedly that I'm not going back to that kisla. Shelo yashuv od lechisla. I'm not going to go back to that foolishness, to that stupidity. I'm done. As the Pasuk says in Shemos, Vayelchu Vayasu. And when you make that Kabbalah, everyone knows the answer to this question at this point, no? What's the answer to the Yismach Yisrael's question? The question was, when you go out to battle, when you try, do you automatically win? What's the answer? Yes. If you're really trying, then you automatically will win. Anytime you haven't won, it's only because there's a part of you that's not fully invested. But when you decide to really go for it, you're going to win. To such a degree that we could say it's over before it even starts. Ein davar omid b'fnei haratzon. There's a Maimer Chazal, which is not really a Maimer Chazal, but it's quoted as a Maimer Chazal. This is a Zohar that's similar to this. That nothing stands in the way of true desire. When you decide, I am done doing averus, Kabbalah amitis, then immediately you're a winner. And that's what the Pasuk says, Vayelchu, Vayasu. They went and they did. V'chi kasher holchu miyad asu. The second they started going, they were already doing? And the answer is yes. Elisha Kabbalah lasos. When you commit to do, nechshav ki'ilu kvar asu. It's as if you've already done. Because too many people are scared to do. They're scared to try to do. They don't think they can do. They psych themselves out. When you decide, I can do and I'm going to do, then you've done. Then you've done something. You've accomplished. Vayelchu v'yasu. He says that's also the perish. V'cheinu ha-perish shel nasa v'nishma. Four lines from the end of the first column. That's also, he says, the pshat of nasa v'nishma. What does it mean the Jews said, we will do and we will listen? By making such a commitment to listen, you've done something. All the other nations of the world were scared to accept the Dvar Hashem. You said, we want Torah. Gevaldik, you did something. That's called doing. Committing yourself wholeheartedly is called doing. Im kiba alav lasos tshuva alaveros sh'asarata. If you accept wholeheartedly to do differently than you've done until now, v'yikabla atzo mehayom v'hala lasos es kol mitzvos Hashem. And you say, from this day forward, I'm going to be an emistic Jew. Miyad hu nechshav kitzadik gamor. You hear that? You become a tzaddik gamor instantly. Instantly transformed into tzaddik gamor. Why? Ukidapasak haRambam, moving on to the left column, the famous words of the Rambam in Hilchos Gerushin, in the laws of divorce. What does the Rambam say so chassidically in Hilchos Gerushin, the end of the second parak? Chaver, what's the halacha? Can you force a person, a divorce document that's given by force, through coercion, is that considered a proper divorce document? A man's giving his wife a get. So the halacha is that a get that's given by force is not a valid get. However, the Rambam says, you could show up at a guy's home, the Beis Din could show up, they can grab the guy, they could start to beat him up, and they can force him to say, I want to give the get. Rotzeh ani, I want to give the get. And as soon as he says, I want to give the get, that's not called forcing him to give the get, because he said it. He said the magic words. Rotzeh ani, I want to give the get. That's not forcing him. Right? We say to him, do you want the sofer? The sofer's standing there. He's ready to write the get. Do you want the sofer to give your wife a get? Absolutely not. Right? So they grab the guy and they start twisting his arm. Now do you want to give the get? No, I still don't want to give the get. Right? And now they start to really beat him up. Now do you want to give the get? Okay, sofer, I want to give the get. Great. Sofer writes the get. And that's it. We divorced this woman. She's divorced. So says the Rambam, what a joke. How could that be called giving a get, not through coercion? A get has to be given willfully. Well, he said, Rotze ani, he said the magic words, I want. So the Rambam explains, because deep down inside, every Jew wants to do what's right. What's stopping him from doing the right thing? The Yitzhara. But if we can chip away at the, when we beat him up, we're chipping away at his Yitzhara, bringing out his true inner desire. And therefore, when he says, Rotze ani, I want to do the right thing that a Jew is supposed to do, we believe him. He could scream after, no, I didn't really mean it. No, we know deep down inside, you want to do what's right. If this is what the halacha demands of you, you want to do what's right. Says the Rambam, let's read it inside, top of the left column. Sheget ma'usa b'Yisrael kosher. A get, the Rambam explains, that's forced out of a Jew is kosher. Why? Mipnei sha'pnimius shel Yisrael hu rak tov. Because inside, the pnimius, the inside of a Jew is only good. Vafilu im yechta chataim harbe. And even if you did a lot of averos, afal pichein od eino nogeya lechelek eloki hashochin bekirbo. The avera is always on the surface. The avera is not who he really is. The avera never touches. It's not nogeya. Nogeya means it touches, to reach. It doesn't reach or touch the chelek eloki, the godly portion, hashochin bekirbo, that resides within him. There's a part of him that's always pure, that's always clean. Every month has a horoscope, has a mazel, an astrological sign that's associated with the month. If you're ever not sure what that looks like, so when you walk into the building on the floor, right when you walk into the building, you'll notice there's like this weird horoscope thing, so you can look, you can check, you can see which month is. Why they decided to put that in the entranceway to this building, I have no idea. The mazel for the month of Elul is Bisula, the virgin girl. The Bisula, a young woman who's never been intimate with a man. Bisula. Why is that the mazel for Chodesh Elul? Because in order to come to the Yom Noraim, a Jew has to believe that there's a part of me that is completely pure, untainted, like an Isha Bisula. Like a woman who's never been with a man. Untouched. There's a part of ourselves that's never been touched by the Yitzhara. What do you mean? I've done such terrible averos. It doesn't matter. There's a part of us, a deep, pure part of us, that is bitula, that is pure, that is innocent. Like that young, innocent woman. So therefore, Chazal tell us in Sanhedrin Mem Dalit, Afal Pisha Chata Yisrael, who, even when we do Averos, we're still called Yisrael. We're still a Jew. What does that mean? Hainu, Shechelek Yaakov Asher Bo, Hu Naki Umnuka Mishemetz Avon. The piece of Yaakov Avinu inside of us, our connection to Yaakov Avinu, is perfect, is pure. Why Yaakov Avinu? Tell me, why Yaakov Avinu? Avram's children didn't all work out. They didn't all end up being Jewish. Avram had a son named Yishmael. Yitzchak had a son named Esav. Yaakov had 12 shvatim. They weren't perfect, but they were all bnei Yaakov. They're all bnei Yisrael. Af al pi shechata, the Gemara says, Af al pi shechata, even though you sinned Yisrael, you're still part of the family of Yaakov, and that can never, ever, ever be erased. Let's pause here for a moment. Okay, everyone, keep your hand on page 92. Or I guess if you're taking notes, you can move your hand for a second. And turn back to page 89. Okay? You don't need to flip a lot of pages. Just go back to page 89 in the upper left-hand corner. The piece for Yud Beis Elul. Because in order to understand what we just learned, you need to understand this piece. Hinei harishonim nasnu simin lechodesh Elul b'rashei tevos. We know, everyone knows, that Elul is hinted to in the first letters of the phrase Ani Lidodi Vidodi Li. Ani Lidodi Vidodi Li. Ravine, you got a set of sar or no? Can we pass Aaron Black this? Shpech. Ani Lidodi Vidodi Li. I am to my beloved and my beloved is to me. The first four letters, as you can see, Aleph Lamed Vav Lamed is Elul. Va'ayin besidur harav miliadi. Look in the siddur of who? Of the Balatanya. Sheherich bezeh, who explained, asher ikur inyan hachodesh hazeh merumas besof hapasak hazeh. This part maybe you never heard. Ani ledodi vidodi li, I'm guessing most of you have heard. Aleph lamed vav lamed. But the Balatanya taught that the real secret of the pasuk, the essence of the pasuk, is actually the end of the pasuk. Ani ledodi vedodi li, it describes haro'e bashoshanim, one who shepherds amongst the roses. The Jewish people are compared to the Shoshana, and it's one of the deepest secrets. It's the hakdama to the Zohar. It talks about how Klal Yisrael are compared to a Shoshana, to a rose. Why are we compared to a rose? What is it about the rose? Okay? Kishoshana bein achochim. Just like the rose stands amongst the thorns. The rose is so beautiful, but it's surrounded by such painful thorns. Right? The rose has such a beautiful inner appearance, but it's surrounded by such negativity sometimes. That's the story of our lives. On the surface, sometimes we look so pathetic. Collectively as a Jewish people and individually. We all have moments of our life that we feel are totally thorns. Really bad, broken moments. Like sticking your hand into a thorn bush. The hand's not going to come out looking too pretty. And yet, there's a beautiful rose that's hidden within. There's this tremendously beautiful rose. Haroa b'shoshanim. V'alpi darcho nuchal afarish gamkin. So based on this idea of roa b'shoshanim, which we just explained very loosely, he quotes the following idea. Look what he writes here. It's unbelievable. He writes in parentheses, Ani shamati zos me'arav ha-kodosh mi'amshanov. I heard this from the Rebbe of Amshanov. In the name of his father, the Tzaddik of Vorki. Now, if you haven't learned so much Chassidus and these names are new to you, that's okay. We'll get introduced to all of these Tzaddikim. Okay, Amshanov comes from Vorki. So the Tzaddik of Vorki explained. Don't worry so much about the names, but get this Vart down because it's awesome. On the Pasuk, Bisodom al tavo nafshi, bikalam al techad kvodi. You see, Bereishis mem tes pasuk vav. Bisodom al tavo nafshi. What is Bereishis parak mem tes? Yaakov giving brachos to his children. And who is he talking to here? Shimon and Levi. Shimon and Levi got themselves into a bit of trouble along the way. Bisodom al tavo nafshi, Yaakov avinu davind. Into their secrets, into their sod, al tavo nafshi. Into the things that they're going to get involved with, don't let my soul be there. Bikahalam, in their gatherings, al techad kvodi. Don't give me a makom miyuchad. Don't give me a special place there. I don't want anything to do with it. What's the gathering that Yaakov says, prophetically, I don't want to be a part of? He's hinting to something in the future. What does Rashi say on the spot over there in Parshas Vayechi? Rashi explains, D'machlokto shel Korach lo yizkar shema. Yaakov Avinu is begging, please Hashem, don't let me be a part of Korach's terrible, terrible civil war that he caused. The chutzpah, the failure of Korach, punish the earth swallowing up Korach. Yaakov Avinu says, I don't want anything to do with that. What does that mean? So says Rashi, if you look in Parshas Korach, what does it say? It doesn't mention Yaakov's name. It says Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kehas ben Levi. What should it say next? Ben Yaakov. But it stops. Korach is the son of Yitzhar. Yitzhar is the son of Kehas. Kehas is the son of Levi. It should have said ben Yaakov. Yaakov already davened on his deathbed, please don't associate me with Korach. What does that mean? What was Yaakov asking for? For Loksiv ben Yisrael, doesn't say ben Yaakov. So I'll ask you, does it really matter? Do we not know that Korach comes from Yaakov? Korach is the son of Yitzhar. Yitzhar I don't know so much about. Yitzhar is the son of Kehas. Kehas, maybe I remember Kehas is one of the children of Levi. Right? And Kehas is the son of Levi. Oh, Levi, yeah, Levi is one of the children of Yaakov. So, by not writing Yaakov's name, did we trick anyone? Is Yaakov no longer associated with his descendant Korach, because it doesn't say his name? V'halo zil kare beiravhu. That's a Talmudic expression which means, go to school, kid. Everyone knows that Levi's father is Yaakov, so you don't write in the pasuk. Who cares? You didn't trick anyone. Everyone still knows that Yaakov has a very embarrassing descendant named Korach. Zil kare beiravhu. That means, go and read in yeshiva. Go read the Torah. Everyone knows that who Levi is. The Levi Hoya ben Yaakov. Everyone knows that. It's no secret. Ela peirishu. What was Yaakov davening? Dine Yaakov Avinu olav shalom, hu habriya chatichon. Yaakov Avinu says, my grandfather Avram had a lot of trouble in his family. He had a Yishmael. My father Yitzchak had a terrible son named Esav. I just want my family, I want there to be something about my family that doesn't get ruined. And that's what Yaakov was really davening for. That when Korach does the worst of Eros, but it doesn't reach all the way to the depth of the soul. There's a part of a Jew called Yaakov, or more precisely called Yisrael, that never gets ruined. You could sleep with a zona while eating a cheeseburger on Yom Kippur and it stays pure. Not that you should, but you could. There's a part of you that's untouchable. The Yetzirah can't touch it. The biggest of errors in the world. And it's from that Nekuda that a Jew could always be rebuilt. That's why we never, ever, 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 ever give up on a Jew. Ever give up on a Jew. Because there's a part of him that's Bisula, that's mamish, clean, innocent, 100% pure. He has to just scrape off everything on the surface and then rebuild from that spark, that Pintel Yid, which you'll see, by the way, is going to be a big theme in the Sefer Yismach Yisrael. That inner Nekuda, which I speak about a lot. I love that idea. It's such an important idea in my own understanding of Yiddishkeit and how I relate to Jews. It's a major theme in the Yismach Yisrael. And it'll give us a smile when we feel that we've messed up really bad on, you know, we had a really bad day. This is the type of sefer that will remind you, no, rebuild. Dig deep and rebuild. So Yaakov says, I want to be that Briah HaTichon. I want to be that central beam. That pillar that'll never collapse. Hamavriach mikotze el kotze besoch klal b'nei Yisrael. I want to be, right, Yaakov says, I want to be that point that holds it together for a Jew. When everything else about him is falling apart, I want him to be able to say that he has a Yaakov Avinu Nekuda that never falls apart. V'ze hayitfiloso, shelo yagia shum pagam v'shemetz l'chelko. That's what Yaakov was davening. Everyone knows that Korach comes from Yaakov. But I want the biggest of eras not to reach my chelek, so to speak. The part that I invested, the DNA, the spiritual DNA of Yaakov Avinu, should remain pure. And that from that place, Shem Chos V'Shalom Yechta Ish, Lo Yegiah Chet L'Chelko. That if a Jew sins, it doesn't reach that portion. U'michelko yachol kol ish l'haliv shvive zikei ha'yisraeli. Beautiful lashon. And from that point, a Jew could what? Could ignite the flames, the inner flame of a Jew, the spark of a Jew, ulaora ulizakos al yada lechuva shlema, and to rebuild the entire self, chuva shlema, from that nekuda. That's what he meant. Turning back now to page 92, when he quoted the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Af al pi shechata. No matter how many averas you did, Yisrael who? You're still Yisrael. You're connected to Yaakov Avinu in the deepest of way, and that gives you the opportunity to rebuild yourself completely. Now, chevra, we're learning Chassidus and we're mature, responsible Jews. So, you know, note to self, this is not an excuse to do averas and then say, I can get away with it because now I know the secret. God forbid. One of the dangers of learning these types of secrets of Torah is that it makes us casual about averas, because God loves me. And now that I know how much Hashem loves me, so if I do averas, it's fine. I'll just dig deep and I'll start over. Because if I was learning a Musar Sefer, it would probably make me feel worse. And this Sefer's telling me, nah, don't worry. You can be the worst Jew ever and you'll find the way back. That's not a heter to be the worst Jew ever. It's not encouragement to do averas. I know I'm saying something very obvious, but it's important to remind ourselves that. Because we sometimes do get, we fall into this trap of, oh, Hashem loves me, and, you know, and the Pintel Yid is always alive and good and pure and holy, and that makes us casual. A second of Bittul Torah is still part of your achrayas. Coming late to davening is still our problem. Every little avera that we do is still a big problem. But we should also know at the same time that no matter how much we mess up, we never give up on ourselves. Aval pi shechata Yisrael. Okay? So come back to page 92. We're in the left-hand column, and we are six lines down. The line that ends with the word Shemekabel. V'keivan Shemekabel alav lasos tov. So let's go back to our question in Kiseitze. Who remembers the question? The question was, when you go out to war, immediately Hashem gives you the enemy into your hands. That's not true. So explains the Yismach Yisrael, that is true. When we make a Kabbalah be'emes, when we throw off all of that superficial self and allow just the inner self to emerge, so then we've won the battle. We're guaranteed to win the battle. And therefore, vayelchu vayasu, nase v'nishma. The second you want to really do it, you are a guaranteed winner. And that's the remez of the pasuk. Ki teitze lemelchama unasno Hashem elokecha biyadecha. Okay, let's quickly just finish this piece because we still want to do one more little piece. So again, so kevin shemekabel of lasos tov. As soon as you accept upon yourself to do good, ma'orer bekoach haratzon v'achesha kazeh eschelak hapnimius asher bekirbo. You're restarting from that part of yourself that is always pure, lizgalos, to reveal it, ulhotzio mikoach el apalel, to take it from koach, from potential, and to make it reality. We welcome Harav Yonatan HaKohen, one of my best friends on planet Earth. Ukamosha dima shlomo amelech alav shalom, Yisrael lishoshana. So, however, now we understand the reference. Ani ledodi vedodi li, haro'eb eshoshanim. The love that Hashem feels for us, ani ledodi vedodi li, you have to think of it in the context of what? Of roses and thorns. Roses and thorns. On the outside, there's a lot of thorns. On the inside, there's a beautiful rose. Beautiful rose. It just has to break through a little bit. I in the Bette Midler song called The Rose. Did someone pull it up? Google it for us. Get the lyrics to the Bette Midler song called The Rose. Read the last line out loud. Elliot Fuchs, Mechubed with Krias the Rose. Read the last two lines of The Rose. Got it?
Okay, here we go.
Just the last couple of lines. Right before that.
Just remember?
Yeah, just remember. Okay, listen. Just remember, no?
Just remember, in the winter, far beneath the bitter snows, lies the seed that with the sun's love in the spring becomes the rose.
Okay, say it louder so people can hear you.
Just remember, in the winter, far beneath the bitter snows, lies the seed that with the sun's love in the spring becomes the rose.
Okay, the rose also, not only did it have to deal with the thorns, right? But when it's winter and the ground is frozen and the plants are collapsing, think about the courage it takes for a plant to break through. Right? But it's through that warmth and that love and that realization that I have that constant connection to a Kadosh Baruch Hu that gives the rose the courage to emerge and to display its beauty. That's what he's saying here. That's the secret of Chodesh Elul, chevra. Ani ledodi vedodi li is the fake out. You think, oh, that's the secret of Elul. Aleph lamed vav lamed. No, that's also a secret. But the deeper secret is the next two words. Haroa b'shoshanim. Is that Hashem is able to identify the rose amidst the thorns. Lomer lecha ma'shoshana zu. He misuveves ba'olin yerokim. It's surrounded by not so attractive green leaves. Uvetocha alin hi shoshana aduma, and then there's that beautiful red rose amidst all of the thorns and all of just the plain green outer leaves. Ukeshniftachu alin hayirokin, and when those green leaves part and open up, nizgala hashoshana aduma. When you're able to peel away all the thorns of our lives, you see that beautiful rose in the middle. Kain b'chol Yisrael hapnimius shalohu raktov. And that's what it means. When you go out to fight, when you know the secret that there's a rose amidst all those thorns, immediately you are going to win. Guaranteed. Okay? It's a gevaldik piece. There's a couple more lines, but for the sake of time, you get the idea. Let's turn to Parshas Kisavo on page 101. Okay, this week's Parsha. Sorry, Shir is going to be a little bit long today, but we're going to do the first piece in Kisavo also. Okay, usually the Shir is 45 minutes to an hour, usually closer to an hour. So far we've been going for how long? 51 minutes. Okay, so it'll probably be an hour and 5 minutes, another 15 minutes. Okay, if anyone needs a break, take a break. No hostages. How does Parsha's Kisavo begin? What's the opening topic in this week's Parsha? Bikurim. You come to the land that Hashem has given you, and you settle the land. You need to take from your first fruits of the land, like Rav Goldbach spoke about yesterday, that come from the land that Hashem has given you, place them in a basket, come to the Beis HaMikdash, and you stand before the Kohen, and you declare before the Kohen, you declare, thank you, Hashem, for bringing me to the land. Ve'anisa ve'amarta lifnei Hashem Elokecha. And then there's a mitzvah of Kriyas HaBikurim, to recite the following words. Ve'anisa, to loudly declare and to proclaim, Arami Oved Avi, Lavan took advantage of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov was the rose amidst the thorns of Lavan's house. Ve'yered Mitzrayim, and then the Jews suffered in Egypt. And we live there, b'misei ma'at, but then out of Mitzrayim we emerged, and now you brought me to the land of Israel, and God, I want you to know, the first fruits that are going to grow, they're for you. That's the declaration. Vanisa v'amarta, we've suffered a lot in the past. Thank you, Hashem, for getting us to this point, and we owe it to you to give you our first success in the land, because all of our success comes from you. Says the Yismach Yisrael, v'anisa v'amarta lifnei Hashem, explains Rashi, lashon haramas kol. You have to say it in a loud voice. Say it loud, say it proud. It's not really possible to blow a shofar in a quiet sound, right? The shofar is screaming. So when you come to bring your bikurim, you also have to say it b'haramas kol, b'kol ram, in a loud voice. Whole discussion in the Masechta Sota, in the latter prakim, about things that need to be said b'kol ram. So he says, my father explained, quote, kedushas avi, Avi Mori, Adoni, Avi Mori, Zecher Tzadik, Levracha, Lachai, Olam Haba, Zuchuso Yagen Aleinu. Okay, that's what all those abbreviations are, and I'm not doing it again right now. But I'm happy to spell it out for you if you want to get it down. Diber Bekadcho, my father explained. What does Rashi mean? He explained, B'derach, Musar V'Avodas Hashem. The Gemara tells us in Rosh Hashanah Tes Zayin, Imru Lefanai Malchios, Zichronos V'Shofros. We need to say in the Rosh Hashanah davening, Malchios, Zichronos, Shofros. Malchios, Kedesh Tamlichuni Aleichem. Why do we say Malchios? Why do we recite 10 psukim about Hashem being the Melech? In order to be Mamlech Hashem. In order to crown Hashem. To declare Hashem king. Shetamlichuni Aleichem. To make Hashem king over ourselves. Why do we say Zichronos? Kedesh Yala Zichronechem Lefanei Letova. Why we have remembrances? So that hopefully Hashem will remember us for the good. And then the Gemara asks a strange question. Uvameh, and how do you do it? Bashofar. Hold on a second. The Gemara just said, let's focus on Malchus. You say 10 psukim about God being Melech. Why do you say 10 psukim about God being Melech? As a way of Hashem. And then the Gemara says, and oh, by the way, and how do you crown Hashem? With the shofar. So what do you mean with the shofar? I thought we crowned Hashem by saying psukim about acknowledging Hashem. Why do I need the combination of the psukim and the shofar to crown Hashem? What was the Gemara asking? How do I actually do it? Oh, well, you also need a shofar. What is it about the sound of the shofar that gives us the courage to crown Hashem? He's really going to explain. Ulechora tmurim derechazal. I don't understand the Gemara. Da'atana maschil imru lefanei malchios. Right? Why do we say malchios? Saying these psukim is how you do it. And then it's mesayim. Oh, how do you do it, by the way? Oh, you do it with a shofar. So he explains as follows. What's the role of the shofar? What's the lesson of the shofar that gives us the ability to crown Hashem? He says, about halfway down that first column, Al pi divrei Hashin Lamed Hei Kuf. Who's Shin Lamed Hei Kuf? The Shlach HaKadosh. Okay? There's a sefer, for those who are not familiar, called the Sefer Shnei Luchos HaBris. And it's always referred to in an abbreviated way, Shlach, Shin Lamed Hei, Shnei Luchos HaBris. Of Yeshaya Halevi Horowitz. Lived about 400 years ago. And he's referred to as the Shlach HaKadosh. That's who he's referencing here. The Shlach HaKadosh explained b'kavanos hapshutos b'tikios d'Rosh Hashanah. The Shlach HaKadosh explained a very simple and beautiful kavana for us to have when we hear the shofar. Kishem sheyesh lahaguf brios v'choli v'misa. Just like the body has different states of being, there's times when a person is healthy, there's times when a person is sick, there's times when a person is not able to live anymore. V'chein yesh b'nefesh, and the same thing is true spiritually. There's times where we're spiritually healthy. Brios ha'nefesh hu kiyum ha'torah v'anhagos midos yisharos. When I'm a good Jew, I'm a healthy Jew. V'acholam hu b'chaser me'elu advarim. And when a Jew, rachmano litzlan, is what? Is not fulfilling mitzvos, Torah and mitzvos, he becomes sick. V'arefuos lehem hu tshuva gemura. And the way to get healthy spiritually is a process called tshuva. It's a process called tshuva. Ukamosh im yechabed choli aguf azay meis. If the illness is not treated, God forbid, a person will die. Kain im hershia harbe. So too, if I keep doing averos and I never fix myself, then oz hi kares hanefesh. Then there's something called kares. Now again, Chassidus, deeper svarim, believe there's always a possibility of fixing even kares. But on the surface level, you're destroying yourself. You're poisoning yourself. Stop doing averos. Valzeh amru chazal rishon b'chayim kriya mesim. A rasha might be living in the sense that he's breathing and his heart is beating, but he's dead. He's a walking dead man because he's so spiritually sick. Lachein tokin tkiya shvarim trua tkiya tashrat. What are we doing when we blow the shofar? This will help us understand the first piece we learned today. Pirshu Chazal. What are the sounds of the shofar supposed to represent? Shvarim. The shvarim, the three broken sounds, shvarim, hu genuchei ganach kederach hacholim. It's like a sick person who's what? Who's krechsing, who's groaning, who's coughing. Right? The sound of the shofar is supposed to be a person... It's a krech, it's a cry of a person who's sick. And every time he moves his body, it hurts. Every time he tries to take a breath, he coughs. The trua is the sound of a person sobbing. Right? The short blast of the trua. it's a sound of a person who can't control oneself. It's sobbing bitter tears. It's yalala. It's a cry, b'chia. Kederach shebochen al amesim. The way a person can't control uncontrolled tears over a person who's dead. We're crying over ourselves, Chevra. When we hear the sound of the trua, we're saying, I'm scared that I'm spiritually dead. Maybe not entirely, but in certain parts of my life, I'm spiritually completely disconnected. Top of the left column. Raksha Adam, who mekalkal es atzmo. Oh, wait, sorry, did I skip? Sorry, bottom line. Vine osa lokim es Adam yashar. Hashem made us straight. Hashem made us proper. Hashem gave us enough spiritual energy, but we messed ourselves up. We lost our way. Raksha Adam, top of the left column, whom a calculus atzmo. But man corrupted himself. We messed ourselves up. Skip the next three lines. Alze Mora, the line that begins Tekiah. Alze Mora Tekiah Rishona. So, however, think about the order of shofros. It's so pasha. Says the Shalah HaKadosh, how does it start? Tekiah, a long, straight, simple sound. The Tekiah is not even supposed to change tones. Some people blow the Tekiah, like it's a change of tone. It's not supposed to change tone. It's supposed to be straight, simple. Tekiah. Also, Elokim Asa Adam Yashar. Hashem made us straight. But what happened? What did we do to ourselves? We got sick. Shvarim. Trua. It's a breakdown, like the broken sounds. So again, Tekiah Rishona, the first Tekiah, is a kol Pashut V'Yashar. It's a simple, straight sound. V'achar kach shugnuche ganach. And then what happens? We start to cry, we start to sob, the broken sounds. Rome is al-choli ha-nefesh. It represents the things that are not going right in our life. V'achar kach yilule yalil. And then it becomes even more broken, the trua. Rome is al-chetom gedolim she misas ha-nefesh. The part of ourselves that's sobbing over our own, we're mourning ourselves, we're sitting shiva for ourselves, we're crying uncontrollably. Al-zeh tzarech ha-odom lios genuche ganach. And we're actually, the shofar is just supposed to teach us how we're supposed to feel on Rosh Hashanah. We should be crying, we should be sobbing, we should be moaning and groaning. We should feel the pain of our averos. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to use that to what? To get back to what? Tekiah. To get back to Tekiah. To be pushed again. To be yashar again. To straighten ourselves out. Ki Hashem yisbarach mikabel shavim, because Hashem is always welcoming and wants us to come back. Ukisha asa tshuva shleima, az hu shav ledarcho arishon. Why is it? It's a whole sugya in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. But in Machshava, in Pnimiyas HaTorah, in Chassidus, what is the message of Tekiah, Shvarim, Trua, Tekiah? If you didn't know, now you know. Tekiah, Hashem made me straight, made me simple, made me wholesome. Shvarim true, I made a lot of bad choices this last year. I'm falling apart in certain areas. Some areas I'm sick, some areas I'm dead. Tekiah, get back to Tekiah. And the hope is, of course, what? Nu, tell me. The hope is what? Tekiah gedola. Tekiah b'shofar gadol l'cheirusenu, to never go back to those ways. To free ourselves from all of that illness, all those averos. The sound of the shofar of Mashiach is when we finally get it right and it lasts. To get back to the way it's supposed to be. Zeh tekiah achrona shu gam kein kol pashut v'yashar. That's trying to get back to that simplicity, that innocence, that wholesomeness. Now look at this pasuk. Ki tov v'yashar Hashem al kein yorech atayim badarech. Hashem is good, Hashem's ways are straight. And therefore Hashem guides sinners on the path. Whereas Hosea says, look at this, Ki Yisharim Darchei Hashem. Yisharim is plural. Yisharim is plural. Yisharim Darchei Hashem. There are many straight paths to Hashem. What does that mean? It means there's the Tekiah before you messed up and there's the Tekiah after you messed up. Yisharim Lashon Rabim. Klomar beiz pa'amim yashar. However, we were all once that Isha Besula in our innocence. We were all once that kid who was so innocent. We were all born free of sin. There's certain averos that once upon a time we could say, I never did that. We can't say that anymore on a simple level. I have done that. When I was a kid, I hadn't done that. Now I've done that. But yisharim darchei Hashem. Plural. There's the yashar, the way that God made you. Then there's a lot of shvarim trua in my life. But then there's the tekiah that comes afterwards. And by the way, it's the last tekiah that becomes the tekiah gedola. No one expected you not to make mistakes. Everyone's expected to do shvarim and trua in their life. But you also have to make sure you get back to tekiah gedola. It's the hope of every Jew. The tekiah that's going to last. Hainu she'oso so yashar. Hashem made us yashar. Ukeshechata v'shav machziro lios yashar. Yesharim, plural. There's the yashar before the sin, and then there's the yashrus when we recreate ourselves after the sin. You know where this is hinted to in the Torah? In the first word of the Torah. The Shlach Kadosh says it. He doesn't write it here. What's the first word of the Torah? Bereishis. Nu, how do you read it? Beis Reishis. There's two beginnings. There's the first beginning, the way Hashem made you. But then there's the starting over. If you ever heard an idea that in Chassidus and Kabbalah, the whole Torah is about tshuva. Right. The first word. Beis Reishis. There's the Reishis, there's the way Hashem made you. And then there's getting back to the way Hashem made you. That's the whole avod of a person in this world. As alluded to in the very first word of the Torah. Okay, Chaver, turn the page. We go to the last paragraph and we finish. Okay, turn to page 102. So what does that have to do with Bikurim? Why does the Kriyas of Bikurim have to be B'kol Ram? And we go through our whole embarrassing past. Arami Oved Avi. We were abused by Lavan. Yaakov was taken advantage of. Then we were abused by the Egyptians. We came to Eretz Yisrael finally. In your kindness, Hashem. And now I'm standing here like Rav Govich described so beautifully yesterday. I'm standing here with this one little fruit to give to you, Hashem. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed, that little fruit, that little holy fruit that you're offering, that little mitzvah that you're offering. Rebuild yourself. It starts with one little mitzvah. We end with this paragraph. Why is this all hinted to in the mitzvah of Bikurim? Ki b'mitzvah hazos, yuchal kol ish v'ish, liros ma yakar chasecha Elohim. That through the mitzvah of Bikurim, we see the kindness of Hashem. After having gone through Mitzrayim on the 49th level of Tumah, do you think my little Bikurim matters? A little fruit? I came to Eretz Yisrael, I plowed, I planted, I grew a little fruit, a little fig. That's my offering to God? That's going to fix all my averos? But the answer is yes. It's possible. Tkiya, a simple little straight sound. Say the Kriyas Bikurim Baharamas Kol. Say it out loud. Be confident. Yes, you can fix everything. Shafilu mitzvah kala mea adama oved basada. A simple little fruit from a worker in the field. Rak machshavto, but his thoughts are. Shechishav al te'ena shebichra shtia kodesh l'Hashem. But he decided, you know what? I want this fruit to be holy to God. It looks ridiculous. But you know what? You got to believe in that little fruit, a little offering to Hashem. It's precious to Hashem. He comes to Beis HaMikdash. He stands before the Kohen, who's like the really good Jew. But don't be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed. You're just a Pashut farmer. This guy works every day in the Beis HaMikdash. You're a Pashut little farmer. This is a Kohen whose whole life is Torah and Avoda. And you spend your whole day in the sun. And this is what you're bringing, a little fig? Don't be embarrassed. Stand before the Kohen and say loud. We've been through a lot. Arami Oved Avi. We went to Mitzrayim. I came to Eretz Yisrael, not even in my own merits and the merits of God, but you know what? Here's my offering. And do it proudly. Say it out loud. Ulefichach, and therefore, says the Mishnayis in Bikurim, Hapachos v'asaganim v'gizbarim yotzim l'krasam. The Mishnah says in Bikurim that the most distinguished people of Jerusalem come out to greet the farmers as they're bringing their Bikurim. A whole parade for them, standing on the side of the road, cheering them on, clapping for them. Good job. You didn't give up on yourself. After all the shvarim and true of your life, you came back to tequila. That's awesome. It's a halacha. It's a mishnah miseches Bikurim. That the chashiv people have to stand up for them. Stand for this guy bringing one little fig? Yes, yeah, stand for him. Laharos shafilu mitzvah kalam ish pashut betachlis apashtos. That the most simple Jew doing the most simple mitzvah is so chashuv. Rak machshava tova be'emes. He's trying his best. He went out to his field and he tied a little string around that fruit to be able to identify it. Kodesh la'Hashem. Holy for Hashem. Yiskaba lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu berachamim v'ratzah. And Hashem is mekablet. He has to be able to say the Kriyas HaBikurim loudly and proudly in the presence of the Kohen, in the presence of the Beis HaMikdash. And he's standing there in his farmer overalls, right? He takes that little piece of straw out of his mouth, and he says with that, you know, farmer draw, Arami Oved Avi. He says it and he means it. And people are cheering him on. That's the message of the shofar, and that's the lesson of Parshas Kisavo, as we come this Motzei Shabbos, to the, for those of us who are Ashkenazim at least, to the official start of the Yom Noram. As the Magen Avraham says, when we come to Slichos, that's when the Yom Noram officially begins. So you come with this confidence. Who am I to stand before Hashem? I'm going to come before Hashem. And the answer is yes. Beis Reishis. Create yourself again. Tkiya Shvarim Trua Tkiya Vanisava Marta Baharamas Kol. Say it out loud. I've been through a lot, but Hashem, I know that you believe in me, and I want to stand here declaring that I believe in myself as well. So Mirtz Hashem, b'schus these Torahs, halavai we should live it, and b'zocha each and every one of us to a year filled with unbelievable bracha, both in Ruchnias and in Gashmas. I'm going to go to the hospital.